Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show here. It is a brand new week here, Monday, October 4th, 2010, 1 month to the election. Just 1 month to go. And Obama's getting desperate. We're going to be talking about that. Let's see. Manny is in the control room today. And our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'm watching the corporate media, and it is so obvious that Obama understands that this election is going to be a disaster for his party. And he's out there campaigning, and he's talking about, and I'm not kidding you, this was the headline that CNN was running on his speech about, Obama brainstorms on economic recovery. Brainstorms. Basically, 2 years into the job, and he's admitting he doesn't have a clue how to fix this mess. So his idea is, we're going to keep going in the same direction. None of the things they've done have worked, unless you happen to be in Wall Street or on a federal government paycheck. So they're going to keep on doing that a little bit longer. There's no change of course. Certainly no hope for the future. We're looking at a double dip recession or a big continuance of the current one, despite all the proclamations that the recession is officially over, which has about as much merit as saying that the Gulf oil situation is taken care of and gone away here. Now, the bad news for Democrats going in here, there's going to be one final jobs report before the election, and it is inevitably going to show unemployment rising. The September numbers are coming in. They are not good. They are absolutely not good. And remember, more than any other issue, voters will vote their wallets. And we're coming down to a situation right now, and I want you to think about this. Forget about all the headlines about terrorism and Israel and Europe and war and everything and Wall Street and all the rest of it. The question you have to ask yourself before you head to the polls a month from now, does the system work for you personally for all the money and all the freedoms that have been taken from you? Are you getting back value for that money? Are you getting some kind of a benefit for the loss of those freedoms? And if you're not, then the system isn't working for you. And that's what you have to be thinking about when you go to the polls. Now, obviously, Republicans and Democrats are two faces of the same system. So if you have a chance to vote third party, you might want to look at that. But the question all America faces right now, does the system work for you? Does the economy work for you? Does the infrastructure work for you? Government takes more than half of everything that you earn. Are you getting value for that money? Government's the most expensive thing you will ever buy in your life. Are you happy with the product, or do you wish there was a lemon law that says you can take it back and say, give me a new one? This is a complete waste of money. This thing's broken. Does the system work for you? Really is the fundamental question. Is it worth the money and the obedience that you have to surrender? Are you getting something back for it? In other countries that have the same level of taxation, you get your health care for free. You get higher education for free. You get good, solid infrastructure. Our government's taking all that money from you and spends it on killing people, and then you are required now with Obamacare to spend more of your own money, what little is left, to pay for your own health care and to go into debt for your own higher education. Student loans now outpace credit card debt as a major drag on our economy right now. Remember, the essence of the banking industry, keep you slave to debt. It is a system of enslavement. You are all slaves. You better wake up to that. Does this system work for you? If you're like me, you're going to say, no, it doesn't. This system absolutely sucks. Golf balls and garden hoses, chrome and trailer hitches, sucks. And we have to deal with that reality. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And again, I'm watching the corporate media feed coming in, and they're pounding the Europe terrorism warning. Insert ominous music here. And they're really pounding on this very hard, and you have to wonder why, because over the weekend, and starting especially late yesterday, Germany and Great Britain basically came out and said there is no reason for a current terror alarm. There's no new intelligence that says anything is about to happen. In other words, as part of the run-up to the election, Barack Obama is exploiting a tactic his predecessor used to use. Anytime the news was looking bad, they'd declare a terror alert to get everybody all frothed up and say, oh, we got to watch out for the terrorists. And they're not paying attention to the fact that, like, the stock market is really down today. We've got a jobs report coming out showing unemployment going up. Boaters in the Gulf are now reporting that as they motor along, they're getting more oil bubbles are starting to churn up from the bottom. And apparently the level of oil in the Gulf, it's starting to work its way up onto the shelf areas now. And nobody knows exactly why. It has to do with complex currents. But that's not going away. We've got 1 month to the election, and Obama is waving terrorists at you, just the same as his predecessor. Talk about hope and change. He's playing exactly the same game that George Bush did. There is no basis for this terrorism alert regarding Europe. Germany is saying that. Britain is saying that. They're saying there's nothing new. There has been no new intelligence. The only thing that's come out is that one video of some phony Osama somewhere, because the real one's been dead for 9 years now, saying, you know, yes, I'm planning horrible, horrible things. And this is a repeat of what we saw in the weeks leading up to 9/11. The media was flooded with stories about Osama bin Laden and what a terrible person he was. And there wasn't really anything to the stories. He hadn't actually done anything. Just like this story about the terrorism alert, where last Friday they were saying the U.S. was considering, you know, a travel warning to Europe. They hadn't actually done it. It was just being thought about. But it's another excuse to wave terror and Osama bin Laden at everybody to keep you scared so you don't pay attention to the issues the president doesn't want you to be looking at as his party heads into these elections a month from today. So this is another hoax. They're waving terrorists and Osama bin dead guy for a long time at you in order that you will not, you watch the little TV commercials about what great politicians the incumbents are, and you won't start thinking for yourself what the issues of the election ought to be. And if we are a free people, we have the freedom to choose for ourselves, to decide for ourselves what the issues of the election are going to be. And the issues are going to be the economy and the wars. And the Democrats, not that the Republicans are not that far behind, treason against the American people in the face of the attack on the aid flotilla last May. The United Nations Human Rights Council said this was a war crime. It was a violation of international law, and the President of the United States, still to this day, is not dealing with this thing. Man's a coward. He's a total coward. Has absolutely no spine whatsoever dealing with this crisis here. Now, basically, the whole impetus for this terror alert is that we're a month away from the election. The Democratic Party, according to the polls, is in the Al-Qaeda, and Obama is trying to think of any dirty trick he can to trick you all into voting the incumbents back into power, because he knows if he loses control of the House, and he may even lose control of the Senate, but definitely he's going to be losing the House, according to the current polls. You know, pray for Diebold. Diebold voting machines, we guarantee the results. Absent massive vote fraud, he's going to lose the House. And that means a lame duck Congress, and he's paralyzed for the remaining 2 years of his first term in office, and hopefully only term in office. Now, over the weekend, little announcement came out. The Palestinian and Israeli peace talks are halted. Israel refuses to stop building the settlements. Netanyahu came out and said, stop picking on the settlers. They have a right to a normal life. Apparently in Israel, normal life is you steal somebody else's land, bulldoze their ancestral home, build your own home on there using taxpayer dollars, and move in. That's called normal life in Israel, apparently according to Benjamin Netanyahu. So the talks are halted. They're saying, well, now what we do? Well, okay, the talks are halted. The peace process is over. And I'm going to hammer this point for a very simple reason. Last week, President Obama, or as I like to call him, President Pussy, insisted that the Arab nations at the International Atomic Energy Agency conference drop the motion to require Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and submit to IAEA inspections, because to make an issue of Israel's nuclear weapons might threaten the peace process. Now, as I mentioned just a minute ago, the United Nations Human Rights Council report declared Israel's attack on the aid flotilla last May as a brutal violation of international law. The entire council has now endorsed this report. It's on its way to the International Criminal Courts. American media is still not talking about this, by the way. Now, President Pussy insisted that this report be downplayed and marginalized because calling attention to Israel's war crimes might threaten the peace process. Well, the peace process is dead. And you don't have an excuse anymore, Mr. President. You don't have an excuse to hide behind why you continue to make a big issue over Iraq and Iran's non-existent nuclear weapons while writing a get-out-of-jail-free card and signing the checks for Israel's nuclear weapons. We all know they have them. We have the photos of the bomb factory under the Dimona reactor. We have the official documents from South Africa that Israel was selling nuclear weapons around the world. The very activity the Non-Proliferation Treaty is designed to prevent. And we have the General Accounting Office report that confirms Henry Kissinger's observation that Israel built its first generation of nuclear weapons with weapons-grade uranium they stole from here in the United States of America. And when are you going to do something about this? Because your job as president of the United States is to take care of this country and the American people, not Israel. And you've been using this, oh, we can't threaten the peace process excuse for a very long time to basically let Israel do whatever Israel wants to do, including the murder of a 19-year-old American citizen carrying a U.S. passport for the crime of pointing a camcorder at the IDF. Now, the peace process is dead. The peace process is dead because Israel murdered it. Israel murdered the peace process because even while they talk peace, the bulldozers continued to run and knock down homes and put up new settlements on the illegally occupied West Bank territories. This is a violation of international law. Again, the United Nations said so. So what are you going to do, President Obama, about Israel's attack on Americans last May? You know, talk up a big storm about Muslim terrorists this and Muslim terrorists that, and we've got to be angry about the mosque and everything. Those weren't Muslims who gunned down that American kid and then shot him point blank in the face when he lay helpless on the deck of the ship. It isn't the Muslims who hold the world's record for defying the United Nations. It is time to recognize who the enemy of this nation really is, the enemy that has successfully subverted and bought out and bribed and cajoled our government to abandon and betray the American people on behalf of a foreign power. So, between now and the election, we all need to remember, and we all need to tell all of our friends and neighbors, that Barack Obama turned his back on the American, on the Americans, plural, captured and one killed by Israel in international waters last May for the sake of a peace process that was dead on arrival, because it excluded the elected representatives of the people of Gaza. All Americans need to know and be told that Obama, even as he whines about Iraq and Iran's non-existent nuclear threat, continues to offer political cover for Israel's development and deployment of nuclear weapons, all for the sake of a peace deal, peace process that was dead on arrival, because Israel doesn't want peace. It wants other people's lands. Look at the maps. Since Israel was declared to be in existence by David Ben-Gurion to today, Israel is in a constant process of expansion. They survive by taking other people's homes with U.S. blessing and support. Now, with the end of this peace process and with Obama's failure to address the issue of the Americans who were attacked by Israel in international waters last May, and his failure to hold Israel to account for its nuclear weapons, every day from now to the election, Obama stands exposed as just another Israeli puppet ruler, and the Democratic Party with him. Every day from now through November 4th, that Obama and his party refuse to confront Israel over the murder of an American citizen will be a day that all America knows they are betrayed by this treasonous, traitorous president who has betrayed his oath of office. Every day from now to the election will be a day that America understands that Obama and his enablers and his friends and associates have sold out America for their 30 pieces of Israeli silver. Barack Obama is a disgrace as president, as a Democrat, as an American. He's the worst president in United States history. We cannot vote him out a month from now, but we can send his party down in flames, and well, we should. And I'm not saying the GOP are any better, because I don't think they are. But the only way that we can still peacefully express our displeasure with the direction this government is going is to take down the president's party a month from now. Vote third party if you can, but vote out the Israeli firsters and the Israeli supporters, and vote out Obama's support structure, or we will be in World War III. We're going to go to the phones. John in Ohio, aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Real quick, we're at the end of the seg.
Mike, I agree with everything you've said so far. Another Benedict Arnold Judas that's stabbing their own people in the back is the present leadership of the Medved faction in Russia. There's an article on globalresearch.ca by General Leonid Ivashov, and he suggests, in effect, that there's been a cold coup by the NATO-Israeli-U.S. faction to do exactly what you're saying. They've been attacked viciously in Georgia by Israel. They are now making alliances.
Got to cut you off. We're at the end of the segment. I'll look up that article. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we're going to talk about the economy a little bit more. Over in Britain, a think tank over there is saying that the British taxpayer should be braced for another bailout of Britain's banks. And basically, it's just another way of looting the people to make the rich richer. Because their bailouts, like the American bailouts, follow a simple model. We're going to take $1 trillion from the American people, or the British people, and we're going to give them to the banks. So the banks can then loan that money back to the people at interest, and that way the banks will make money. That's the whole theory behind bailouts and stimulus. Taking money from the people, give it to the banks, so the banks can turn around and loan it back to the people at interest. That's the scam. That's all it is. All the fancy talk and pretty charts and everything, notwithstanding, that's all it is. We're going to take a bunch of money from the people, give it to the banks so the banks can turn around, loan it back to the people at interest. And that way the banks will survive and perpetuate. Now the problem, of course, is that the American people and the British subjects are, unlike the banks and government, not willing to borrow money if they don't know for a fact they can pay it back. So every time there's one of these bailouts and take a bunch of money from the people and they give it to the banks and the banks say, hey, we're in business, come borrow money from us, and nobody's borrowing money. So they sit there and they use that money to give themselves bonuses and pay their salaries and keep the doors open until they start running out of money again. And they say, oh, we're still in trouble. And the government says, okay, well, we'll take another chunk of money from the people and give it to the bankers. And the bankers will say, all right, we're open for business, come and borrow money. And nobody will borrow money. and they'll spend that cash they got on bonuses and keeping the doors open until they're out of business again. It is a cycle that will not end because the money is moving in the wrong direction. The people are being looted to feed the money addiction of the bankers. The problem with the Bank of England, and this has been known for hundreds of years, it's why there was a revolution in the United States to be free of this style of banking. When you have a private central bank issuing the public currency at interest, it is inevitable that the wealth gets drawn into the pockets of the bankers and the population is driven down into poverty, unemployment, squalor, and starvation. It happened in Britain. Ben Franklin saw it. That's why when they started this country, they said, we're going to have the government create and issue the public currency. The government prints it up, spends it into circulation for what the government needs. It flows to the circulation. People are using it for commerce. And then at the end of the cycle, it is drawn back into the government through taxation. And there are no bankers making interest on all of this commerce. That's the difference between the Bank of England model and the Federal Reserve model and what we had here in the United States of America. So the bankers, of course, are a greedy bunch. Like I said, they're all money addicts. And they can't stand the idea of somebody engaging in commerce on the planet without the bank getting a piece of the action. We're the bankers. We get a piece of the action. And so we had the War of 1812, the first attempt by the Bank of England to reimpose itself on the American people. That didn't work out very well. Then they came in and they just did it through bribery. We had the first Bank of the United States. And that was an absolute disaster. And we had the second Bank of the United States, and that was a disaster. Now we've got the Federal Reserve, and that's a disaster. We have had presidents who understood what was really going on. We had President Andrew Jackson, who called the private bankers a den of vipers and worked to rid the country of them. We had President Woodrow Wilson, who too late understood the betrayal that he had committed against the American people by signing the Federal Reserve Act. And then we had Abraham Lincoln, who sought to free the American people from the private bankers by issuing his own greenbacks. And John Kennedy, same thing with the U.S. notes. Both of those presidents were assassinated. Actually, there was an attempt on the life of Andrew Jackson as well, but that one failed. And the bankers are greedy, and they'll do anything, anything, including starting wars to keep you slave to their wishes. Over the weekend, I found that clip from the movie The International, and I put it up at whatreallyhappened.com, and I think I still have the soundtrack here. Here we are.
The IBBC is a bank. Their objective isn't to control the conflict. It's to control the debt that the conflict produces. You see, the real value of a conflict, the true value, is in the debt that it creates. You control the debt, you control everything. You find this upsetting, yes? But this is the very essence of the banking industry, to make us all, whether we be nations or individuals, slaves to debt.
Now, as of yesterday, World War I is finally officially over. Germany made the last payment on their war reparations from World War I. Never mind World War II. World War I is officially over. There are some people in Germany who are saying, actually, they paid it off back in the 1980s and through dirty tricks and paperwork and fraudulent bookkeeping. It was dragged out even to this point. But, you know, Germany's getting out of its war debts. Well, it's time to start another war. I mean, look how hard the financial interests are pushing for these wars. Because wars are good for the bankers' business. War plunges both sides into debt. The bankers don't even care which side wins or loses. Remember the start of World War II? We had American bankers and investors backing Nazi Germany. Brown Brothers Harriman with Prescott Bush and all of those guys, and they were throwing money at Adolf Hitler to help build his war machine. And on the other side, you had the Krupp Empire was doing exactly the same thing. And Colt Arms gets into the deal, and the idea is, yes, let's get a war going. We'll sell bullets. We'll sell bombs. We don't even care which side wins or loses, because both sides are going to be spending their money on war and borrowing it from the banks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy, and we're talking about the failed policies that have been followed to date. We have another article, Cheap Debt for Corporations Fails to Spur Economy. Of course, you're pouring the money into the wrong part of the economy. The money is being moved the wrong way. For religious reasons, the people at the top think that God intended the money to just flow to them by any means, fair or foul. But if you're going to have an economic system, as a system, the money must flow at all levels of your society, or the system starts to break down. And that's basically where we are right now. The money is all concentrated in Wall Street and Washington, D.C., and there's nothing left for the rest of us to function on. Now, I liken this to attempting to move a building. We've probably all seen documentaries about how to move a building. What do? Well, they basically pick the building up by the foundation, put it on a big old trailer, and they take it to a new place, and they put it back down again, always holding it up by the foundation. You and I know what happens if you try and move a building by picking it up by the roof. The whole thing will crumble apart. And yet, every single step taken by the federal government to improve the economy basically amounts to attempting to pick it up by the roof by taking the money and pouring it in at Wall Street, the bankers, the CEOs. And they're getting rich. They're getting rich beyond belief. I love the story over the weekend where the CEO of Microsoft you know, is crestfallen because he's only getting a $600,000 cash bonus for job performance this year. Oh, poor, pity me, I only got $600,000 to do my Christmas shopping with. My heart bleeds for you. It's like that idiot on the blog where he was complaining about how hard it is to get by on only $400,000 a year. You know, the top levels of our society are completely out of touch with what real life is like going on down here. And a good example of this, my wife and I went out over the weekend. We had to rent a car because our Nissan is in the shop. It actually needs a new engine. Oh, boy. Less than 60,000 miles, and the engine went. It's just amazing. It's supposedly covered in the extended warranty, but I'll feel better when they call and say, yeah, they're going to do that and everything. But we had this rental car, and we just went out tooling around. And we like to go to yard sales because, you know, for a pocket full of loose change, you can go pouring through other people's private lives and things like that. And this was a very marked situation because yard selling used to be a lot of fun. And now it's all desperation. I mean, we talked to people where they said, if we don't make XYZ dollars from this yard sale, we're not going to make next month's rent. And when, you know, you have people who are selling the last little bits of flotsam and jetsam out of their homes, out of their lives. And, you know, people, they collect little tiny tchotchkes and they become attached to them because they're icons for events in their life. Their personality becomes defined by these little things they have around their homes, and they're having to sell them off to make next month's rent. That's emotionally very devastating, and they're trying to be, you know, they're trying to be courageous about it and stiff upper lip and not complain about it. Frankly, I think they should be complaining a little bit more. But that's what we're seeing around here. People are literally emptying out their homes and putting out on the front lawn, just trying to get, you know, and they were selling this stuff for like literally pennies, just anything so they could get the cash in to pay next month's rent before Snidely Whiplash shows up to kick them out of their home. We're getting back into that same situation that led to the creation of the characters of the melodrama villains. They didn't just come out of thin air. Those melodrama villains represent a severe evil in our society of the time, and we're going back into it as well. All right, I'm going to change topics here because, Barack Obama and his buddies have been telling Israel, it's okay for you to kill Americans wherever you want. It's cool with us. It's not like we knew them personally or, you know, it's not like I was ever going to invite them up to the White House or anything like that. Meanwhile, we've got the American Sixth Fleet over off the coast of Somalia killing pirates there who even threaten a ship, just killing the pirates. Meanwhile, over in Texas, the Texas-Mexico border, okay, there's this lake that straddles the border, and apparently American boaters who go too far onto the Mexican side of the lake are being attacked by pirates. And it's apparently been going on for quite some time, and the news doesn't make a big deal about it. And apparently this young woman, Tiffany Young Hartley, was out there with her husband, and pirates were trying to chase them, apparently to grab the boat or something, and shot and killed the husband. And she had to leave his body there because they were shooting at her. And they still haven't found the husband's body. And we're not seeing this being reported all that much on the corporate media. You know, we're getting all about terror alert in Europe and all the rest of that stuff. We have an attack by pirates on our border. Nothing. The police are saying, well, we hope we can find his body. Meanwhile, Barack Hussein Obama is still trying to take Arizona to the United Nations over their desire to protect their borders from this kind of criminal activity. You got drug dealers coming across the border into Arizona. We have pirates killing people in Texas. Will somebody please remind President Obama that his oath of office is to take care of this country first and foremost? Not Europe, not Central Asia, certainly not Israel. He's got to take care of this country or he is a failure. The efforts by the American media to completely reshape the political discussion between now and the election are becoming almost laughably obvious. Where they're trying to create a situation where Obama can look good and the Democrats can look good, the incumbents can look good, because they're the ones making the laws that control the media and will hand out the special favors and dispensations. And they're not reporting the instances where Obama has failed, like the fact that we still have oil washing up on the beaches of the Gulf Coast, proving that he lied to us all on July 15th when he said the problem was all solved. So, anyway, over in Alabama, four state lawmakers have been arrested and indicted for selling their votes on casino bills. Case 11 defendants. Four state senators, several top lobbyists have been indicted on federal charges accusing them of vote buying in an effort to get a bill passed that would have legalized electronic bingo in the state. So Alabama has the finest government that money can buy, and it's organized crime's money that's involved there. Now, we're still talking about this situation that happened with Rick Sanchez, where he went out on a satellite radio interview, not CNN, not in his official capacity, but as a private citizen, got interviewed on a satellite radio, and basically said that Jon Stewart's very obvious pro-Israel bias on The Daily Show, and we've commented on that ourselves many times, basically made him, in Rick Sanchez's eyes, a bigot. And as you know, I stopped watching The Daily Show when Jon Stewart just blasted the international aid workers and made fun of the ones who got killed, and I have not watched his show since then. And I understand from some of the very attentive listeners and readers who follow our website that Jon Stewart has not mentioned the fact that the United Nations concluded Israel's actions were a brutal violation of international law. For that matter, we have not heard any of the corporate networks even mention this as well. As I understand it, even Alex Jones has not mentioned this, that the United Nations Human Rights Council concluded that it was a brutal violation of international law. Rick Sanchez then went on basically to say that Jews were running CNN, at which point the Jews who run CNN fired him. Okay, apparently, are we back? There we go. Okay, we had a momentary interruption and dropout on our connection. I'm going to back up here a little bit. So we're talking about Rick Sanchez. He called Jon Stewart a bigot for his pro-Israel bias on The Daily Show and basically said that Jews run CNN, for which the Jews that run CNN fired him and basically validated everything he said was correct. Now, I went back and I dug out this article. We all know Ben Stein. Win Ben Stein's money. Ben Stein, he's an actor, commentator, very pro-Israel. And he wrote this article, "Do Jews Run Hollywood? You Bet They Do, and What of It?" So here we have Ben Stein saying in print exactly the same thing that Rick Sanchez did. But Ben Stein did not lose his job. Rick Sanchez did. So, basically, in a nutshell, it reveals this incredible bias. The Jews can say the Jews run the entertainment industry, and it's considered self-congratulation. But if anybody else points it out, if anybody were to say, "I agree with Ben Stein that the Jews are in control of Hollywood," you know, you get your career wrecked. And it's this kind of hypocrisy and double standard that calls attention to itself. It's this kind of arrogance that calls attention to itself and makes it impossible for people to miss what is going on in our society here. Now, possibly as a result of this, distrust in mainstream corporate media, I'm not going to call them mainstream anymore because they're not. We are. Distrust in corporate media nears an all-time high. A recent Gallup poll has found 57% of Americans have little or no trust in the corporate media. Now, I don't even believe that number. Okay, because now all of a sudden we're expecting the corporate media that we're being told are liars most of the time. We're supposed to believe that now they're being truthful about this, and I don't think they are. I think they're trying to preserve their advertising rates. I think this is a financial move. I think trust in the corporate media is probably down to around 20%. 80% of Americans know the corporate media is misleading them on the wars and the economy and the Gulf oil spill and the Israeli attack on the aid flotilla. And only 20% who are stuck on military bases behind the firewalls or in government offices or on government paychecks are the only ones who are still going to say, "Yes, I trust the corporate mainstream media." And I think the corporate media is in such financial dire straits. I mean, they're talking about asking for government bailouts now. You know, "We lied for you all these years. You got to save us now that the people know we're lying." And so I think basically the media just wants to go to the advertisers and say, look, about half of America is still listening to us. That's not too bad. So I think it's just an economic move. I think the corporate media is aware they're losing audience. It's at an all-time low. It's been declining for going on 15 years now. They're trying to find some way they can convince their paying advertising clients, hey, no, don't take your money over to the blogs. Don't take your ad money over to Republic Broadcasting. Don't take it over to whatreallyhappened.com. We've got the audiences still. The American people are still kind of sort of maybe trusting us. And no, they're not. Meanwhile, the Times tried their little paywall situation where they were going to charge people to read the lies. And I said, this is going to fail, because it's one thing to lie to the public for free, but it's quite another to ask the public to pay for the privilege of being lied to by the corporate media. And not surprisingly, the paywall resulted in a decline of 120,000 readers for the Times. They've decided they're going to drop that. Idea just did not work. They lost almost 10% of their readership in the month of August. The corporate media wants their audience back. All they got to do is start telling the truth. If the TV networks would start reporting the truth about what's going on, I'd shut down this website and this radio show, and I'd spend the rest of my life chasing Claire around the condo and trying to support her in the lifestyle to which I'd like her to become accustomed. I'm not making any money doing this. I'm not even having a lot of fun. But it's necessary right now until the media remembers that its real role in our society, the reason it has the First Amendment to protect it, is to be that watchdog on government abuse, not to simply sell out themselves out to the first, you know, really significant offer that comes along, either from the U.S. government or, as we have documented already, from Israel. And we have another article up at whatreallyhappened.com called The Rule of Lie and the Wingnut Press. And it basically goes down about all the stories about 9-year-old brides in Yemen and women being stoned in Iran and all these stories to make the Middle East look bad. But it never reports on the problems in the Jewish communities. You know, we'll see all this news stories about Catholic priests who are caught in pedophilia scandals, and yet when it's rabbis, very, very rarely do they get reported, unless there's an actual conviction. And there is a bias in the American media, and that declassified Senate report reveals why. Israel takes a chunk of that tax money that Congress has given them from your pocket, and they turn around and they bribe the prostitutes in the corporate media to report the news as it favors Israel. And if you don't believe me, then ask yourself why the same media outlets that gave nonstop coverage to Israel's version of the attack on the aid flotilla, ooh, they had pointy sticks, they had knives, they had pipes, why that same media has not even mentioned that the United Nations Human Rights Council has denounced that attack as a brutal violation of international law. Why aren't you seeing that with the same intense coverage that Israel's version of that incident got? And you never will. The corporate media is corporate. It is bought and paid for. And that's why I don't believe that 57% number. I don't think it's anywhere near that good. I think it's far, far worse. Alrighty, moving right along here. We've been decrying the lack of diversity in the media, and over the years we've seen ownership of the corporate media. We actually used to have laws in this country that said, you know, any one media corporation is not allowed to own too much because they didn't want that corporate influence to dominate the political discussion in any given region of the country or the nation as a whole. Well, starting with the media's willing complicity in the lies that sold us Desert Storm and the Second Iraq War and all the lies since then, the government has rescinded all the rules limiting media corporations. And today, virtually all of the corporate media, radio, TV, newspapers, magazine, is owned by just 6 monolithic corporations. And the chairman of the board and the board of directors of those 6 monolithic media corporations have vested business interests in banking, defense contracts, security corporations. It's a big, incestuous little situation where the media is nothing more now than paid advertising to get you to buy naked body scanners at the airport, computer security, vaccinations, environmentally friendly green whatevers to ward off global warming. It's a gigantic machine whose sole purpose is to extract what little wealth remains in the pockets of the American people and put it into the hands of the already rich. And the government's going along with it because they're bought and paid along with everything else. All right, we're coming to the end of this segment. No callers right now. Let's see, what are we going to talk about now? Interesting little story. As you know, Rahm Emanuel has quit the White House, and he's announced that he's going to run for mayor of Chicago, but apparently there may be a little bit of a wrinkle, because under Illinois' law, when he leased out his residence in Chicago, he lost his legal residency, and he may not be able to reestablish that he's a legal resident of Illinois in time to run for mayor of Chicago. Might be a little complication. Somebody wasn't paying attention when they were looking at the rules here. All right, we're going to take a break here, but we're going to come back talking about a Palestinian mosque has been torched. And again, the corporate media is ignoring it. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And our phone lines are still open. Manny's in the control room, ready to pick up the phone when you call 800-313-9443. Now, over in Israel, especially in the occupied territories in the West Bank, things are getting very, very tense. There are more and more attacks by the settlers on the Palestinians, to which Israel just sort of kind of gives a grudging, yeah, well, they're not supposed to be doing that. And apparently over the weekend, A Palestinian mosque was torched, was set fire to, was burned down by a bunch of settlers, apparently backed up by units of the Israeli military, who stood there and said, oh, well, you know, well, it's on fire already, there's nothing we can do about it, and no, you're not allowed to attack the people burning your mosque down. And not much of a mention of it here in the United States of America, and again, it reveals a certain bias in the media, because had it been Palestinians burning down a synagogue in Israel, or a church, you would have heard about it. It would have been headline news. But when the settlers, who aren't supposed to be there in the first place, start burning down a mosque, eh, no big deal. You know, that's just them gosh darn Palestinians there are just whining as usual. And again, there's this bias. Even Haaretz, which we normally see a more even-handed approach to the news, even more even-handed than a lot of the American media, they're basically saying it's an alleged attack. I mean, they got witnesses. They saw the settlers. They saw the military units. And even Haaretz wants to back up and say, well, we don't really know. Meanwhile, yet another Israeli organ trafficking ring has been arrested, this time in the Philippines. And they basically nabbed 6 suspected members of this organ trafficking ring in Israel that apparently included a retired military general from the IDF. And the indictment, along with all of the other things that go with this illegal trafficking in organs, apparently a big part of the indictment is that the people who sold their organs said, yes, you can buy one of my kidneys, were not paid in full. They were cheated. The cheap bastards bought kidneys from these people who are already, you know, living in poverty. That's the only reason that you find people willing to say, yeah, you can have one of my kidneys. You know, because you do need both of them. And apparently they didn't get paid. And of course the ADL is going to be out there screaming, saying, you can't say that they weren't paid. That just reinforces stereotypes about Israelis being cheap and you know, grubbing for money and everything. Look, I'm sorry. You know, this is the indictment. These Israelis were down there in the Philippines convincing people to sell them a kidney, and then after it was all over and they couldn't get it back, they said, well, you know, the price went down while you were asleep, and here's part of your money. Take it or leave it. So that's what really happened. And you can scream and whine about, you know, unfair stereotypes and everything, but that's exactly what happened. Now, also over this last weekend, we reported on a story, this actually happened about a week ago, where Israel's hacker group, the Jewish Internet Defense Force, it's a bunch of hackers, have been around for a while. They are notorious for going out and trying to wreck the servers of any websites that do not treat Israel as heaven on earth. If you're out there talking about the attack on the aid flotilla, if you're out there talking about Operation Cast Lead, if you're out there talking about the atrocities being committed against the Palestinian people, the Jewish Internet Defense Force will come down and they'll try and wreck your server. We've had to fend them off here at What Really Happened on numerous occasions. Now, apparently, they put a tremendous amount of pressure on YouTube to shut down the web channel and remove all the videos of David Duke. I'm going to take a break for a minute. We'll come back and talk about why this is a significant development.
It's true.